G'day, snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round eight is coach of Tubes' pod. Tubes, how are you going, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Nice little fired up intro from you. Good use of the word snappers. Welcome all the snappers back for Sunday Snap. Oh, it's been a good weekend. I've said it before, but the birds chirp a little bit louder when you have a nice Supercoach weekend, isn't it? You just appreciate the little things in life.
Well, Tubes, fill us in. What trades did you make this week? How'd you go?
I've gone okay. But you know, I brought in Scotty Drinkwater and captained him. And nice. There's nothing better than a bring in captain, and they kill it. He's ended up getting 132. I've had a 1358. I had a few lower scores. I played Dylan Egan. KP didn't go too well for me, and I played Billy Smith after bringing him in. So a few low scores sort of held me back a little bit from a 1358. But I'm just riding your coattails for the weekend that was.
Yeah, I've gone very well, Tubes. I'm not going to hide from that. I've had a 15-10, and it feels nice. The last few weeks have been coming in saying, oh, yeah, a bit under par, around par, but this week well and truly above par with a 15-10. Tubes, you said there's nothing better than a bring-in captain who kills it. I'll tell you what's better, a pod bring-in captain who kills it, because he was only captained by like 2% of super coaches. So I think he was the eighth or ninth most popular captain choice of the round. So yeah, it's paid a big dividend for both of us, leading to some nice, strong scores. I think my trades, Tubes, are pretty similar to yours from the centre. I brought in Drinky. I brought in Billy Smith. I had one more that I can't remember. Oh, Dylan Lucas, who went okay as well. So, and those players you mentioned, Egan, Ponga, Billy, I played all them too. So Egan ended up being my dropout score. But yeah, Tubes, really happy. If you couldn't tell from the intro with my big Tubes, I'm fired up and ready to go for tonight.
I thought you were going to say nothing. The one thing that's better is the pod hold, and that's our man Bo Furmore. I was not a Bo lever.
And no, I yes jumped you were. Off. You were a Bo lever. You left Bo.
I was a Bo lever. Yeah, I left Bo 2 weeks ago when he kept getting named in the centres. But you stuck strong. 132 points later.
Yeah,
I'll be looking at bringing him back in next week.
Back to a Bo lever. I love it.
Oh God, he looked good, and he looked good running off Brimson as well. Like, just that looks good. Like a nice little combo they're getting.
100%. I do have some warning signs about Bo. We'll get into that when we do our game reviews. But there are a couple of little things I'll be hesitant about when it comes to Bo. Before we get into all of that, Tubes, let's start with a few plugs. Just a reminder to join the SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. I think that's still going to stay open for a couple more weeks, Tubes. It's still time to join. Another reminder that the baller.live website, that's baller.live website, is up and ready to go. It is easily the fastest Supercoach website out there, so get on there and check it out. And Tubes, last week we teased that the predictive features might be arriving, and we did. We got a further tease from the boys over at Baller, put out a couple of tables with some predictions for the upcoming round. What'd you make of it all?
Yeah, they were pretty good. I think they had Scott Drinkwater as the predicted highest Supercoach score for the round. So didn't quite get there, but still pretty nice from a predictive point of view. The one thing they didn't do too well on is, I think I put up Marky Mark versus Greg Marju, and they got that one wrong. And I put up Shibasaki versus someone, wrong there.
Wasn't it just Greg Marju again?
Oh, probably. I was laying Greg for the weekend. So Shiba and Marky Mark both beat Greg Marju. So it was Tubes 2, Baller 0 in that situation.
It was me and Baller 1, Supercoach 0, because I literally went with Scott Drinkwater. Honestly, I would say, Tubes, I reckon 50% of my decision was because it was like their first week of the predictive features. I was excited for it, and I just thought, look, let's just get on board. They predicted Drinky is the biggest score. I'm going to jump on. I honestly reckon it played a genuine factor in my decision. and I'm very happy with how it all panned out. So that is available. They'll put that out on Instagram. They'll put out some of their top predicted scores of the round. They've also said they're happy for people to get in touch via Twitter or X, sorry, or Instagram and request specific player scores, and they'll post them up. And it's going to be launching as a proper feature coming up soon over the next few weeks, I believe, Tubes.
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty exciting.
All right. Well, a little bit less exciting is our opening segment of every show, and it is time for the Rage Trade.
Are you little?
Tubes, who is your Rage Trade candidate this week?
Oh, I got a quick one. I know you want to go deep on your Rage Trade, so I'll try and be quick to fit into our time limit. But mine's Tommy Boy Jenkins. He started off with a lot of gusto, Tom Jenkins, when he first came in. I think his first game he played fullback against the Storm, and he had a 91. He then went 69 against the Bunnies, 66 against the Cowboys. And now his last 3 weeks he's gone 47, 38, and 30. He's just going backwards. And I was blaming a little bit in those early times they weren't passing him the ball, but his base has just fallen off a cliff. Panthers don't seem to be looking like they're getting any better. He's actually lost 19K this week. He'll have a break even of 64. And just with so many guns in the center wing now, I think it's time to get rid of Jenkins. Whereas last week I was defending him, saying he's a holdover the bye period.
Yeah, I'd almost like him to – I'd like Brian Tor to come back and almost have him get dropped just so the decision's fully taken out of my hand, because there's still that little nagging voice about round 13 in my head, which kind of elevates him above a couple. But I think everything you've said is fair, Tubes. And if it's right next week, I'll be very happy to move on Leroy Jenkins for sure. My Rage Trade, Tubes, is who would have picked this bloke to be a Rage Trade two times in 3 weeks? It's Kalen Ponga coming off a 44 on the weekend. And – Tubes, I just wanted to kind of figure out and unpack what is actually going wrong with Kalen Ponga. So I had a little bit of a look through the numbers. I did a bit of a deep dive after that game and was checking things out. So here's what I came up with, Tubes. Last year, his average was 81. This year so far, including the score on the weekend, he's averaging 60. Now, you might think maybe he's getting less touches. Maybe that's the problem. Last year, he had 39 touches a game. This year, he's averaging 44 touches a game. His touches have actually increased, which you would maybe think that would mean he would get a bigger score, but it's not happening. Assists for last year, he was averaging 0.6 try assists a game. So far this year, he's averaging 0.6 try assists a game. So again, that hasn't had a drop off of any margin. Where it starts to become noticeable is in Kalen Ponga's running game. Last year, he averaged one line break per game. This year so far, he has had two line breaks in 7 games. Last year, he averaged 14 points per game from tackle busts. This year, he's only at 8 points per game from tackle busts. So, Tubes, I've got a couple of theories for you. Interesting to see what you think. Number one is there maybe some kind of injury? Because his running game was there in the first 2 games of the season. It looked red hot. Is there some kind of injury potentially that Knights have kept in-house that he's working through and playing through that we don't have the full story on? The other potential theory I've got is he adjusting his play style to suit Fletcher Sharp? Because Fletcher Sharp is now the man who's doing a lot of that close to the line, off the cuff kind of running game play, busting tackles, jetting back inside. And Kalen Ponga is doing a lot more distributing and playing a little bit in closer to the ruck as opposed to further out wide. What I've spoken for like 3 minutes there, Tubes. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I've got a different theory, Jono. A little bit more left field than yours. Dylan Brown has signed with the Newcastle Knights and Kalen Ponga's gone, you beauty, like next year could be our year. Fletcher, Dylan Brown, myself, I've got the pairing I'm looking for. And then he's just gone, but do I have the coach that we need to get us over the line?
Stop it.
And then since then, so that was about round two that Dylan Brown signed. He's gone, all right, I'm gonna go on a mission for Aidan O'Brien to be sacked. That's all I can put it down to.
Is he one of the employees at the club? Who's Aidan? I'm aware of Coach Adam.
Aidan is potentially his brother. Maybe he employs his family members. He wants them both. The two A brothers. They need to go.
So, Jeez, I've come in with some deep dive research. I've pulled out statistics reasons, and you come back with he's trying to get his coach sacked. is what you're boiling it down to.
Look, it's all about the clicks, Jono. That's why it's that I'm just trying to learn from the best. Been watching some Fox Sports over the weekend.
Mm. Maybe Kenny's new podcast. Taking a couple of tips from Paul Kent.
Anyway, I think there's at least some truth in some of those points that have been made by the two of us about what's happening. The listeners,
the snappers can pick which one had more truth in it. But
how do you hold him? Like, you feel like you have to, but it's the opportunity cost of these other guns at fullback.
Yeah, well, part of it is he's so cheap now, it's hard to get to some of these guns. He's a factor as well. But I don't know. I know what you're saying, Tubes. It's a bit of the sunk cost fallacy. Like, you've held him for this long, you've waited for him to come good, and he hasn't yet. I'm just going to keep holding. Like, I feel like I'm too invested in this now, but I agree with what you're saying. That's enough time on Kalyn Ponga, because we've been spending significant time in our frustrations on him every single week. Let's hope it starts to turn around. I would love YouTube to take the plunge and sell him, because then I'd be confident he'd come good again. So feel free to follow through and sell him to one of these other gun fullbacks. Let's get on to the round review now, Tube. Starting off with the first game of the round was the Broncos versus the Dogs at Suncorp. I mean, second top scorer of the game after updates was Adam Reynolds with 125. I don't think we need to talk about Ren Diggity too much. Moving on to Payne Haas, he had 127 with an assist. He has now gone 65 minutes 2 weeks in a row. So that whole minutes theory we had around Carrigan and Payne Haas seems to be out the window now, Tubes. It's settled a little bit more now. What do you make of that?
Yeah, but their bench has completely changed the last few weeks as well, as I mentioned last week. So it's actually their bench is supportive of Carrigan and Haas now being able to get big minutes, which they have been. He just keeps getting it done, Payne. He's funny as well, isn't he? He's I was going to call him a flat track bully. He's not a flat track bully, but he keeps his foot to the pedal right till the end.
Yes.
It's almost as if he captains himself in Supercoach. Like, he's looking for those attacking stats, even though when the game's done, just in the last minute of the game.
100%. Like, he just keeps getting through work. And we'll talk about with a few other players from this game that it was a pretty low game for base because it was such a lopsided scoreline. The base wasn't great, except for Payne. Like, it didn't affect his base at all. It was huge. Tubes, the only thing with that bench that I like is that I was always concerned with making him my captain because I didn't know if it was going to be a 50-minute week or a 70-minute week. I really like this bench now for me, confidently putting the C on him, knowing that the minutes will be there. So if that bench is like that again next week with kind of two hookers on it plus a hooker in the starting lineup, I would take a lot more stock in making him my captain. A lot more interest for me.
It's just it's such a weird bench. Like, Corey Pakes, Corey Jensen, Jaden Hunt, and Tyson Smoothie. Like, it's really just going, all right, chips in on Payne and Carrigan, seeing us through. Mm-hmm. It's like he wanted a different rotation at the start of the year, and then they lost a few games, and he's just gone back to, all right, well, we win more when Payne and Carrigan are on the field for big minutes, so let's just trust that and see how it goes.
Maybe that, or they just have no forward depth. Because, like, even like guys like Jaden Hunt just aren't getting big minutes, and he's like one of their only forwards on the bench. Chiefs, young GI, you kept him, didn't you? And played him. He ended up with 63 with a try. Like I said earlier, a bit of a weird game for base. So you hope for a bit more out of young GI, aka Shibasaki, for anyone who might be new to the podcast. You'd hope for more than 63 with a line break try, wouldn't you, Tubes?
Like you said, it was just a weird game because they smashed them. It just wasn't the opportunity for base coming out of. He's a big roll up his sleeves type of guy. And he didn't need to roll up his sleeves in this game. He still looked very good. Many people sort of said he was a sell, got to get rid of Shibasaki, can't hold him, playing the Bulldogs, he's down. I held him, I played him, and I'm ready for him to have a big game this week up against the Panthers up at Magic Round.
Yeah, they'll be fired up for that, the Bronx too. Tubes, the next thing I've got in our spreadsheet, I've just called it Tubes, is back rowers, and I'll let you talk about these two. We had Xavier Willison, who got 85 points. He was your little black book last week. And Billy Kickow got a 60. He's actually a big pod that you brought into your team. Anything you want to say about those two?
Well, Kickow was he looked good in a very badly beaten side. I thought he looked fired up coming out in the second half. It was a little bit disappointing, and he had a down date today. They took a try assist, line break assist off him.
Correctly
so he down, they took it off him. He was 77. They gave him a different line break assist that they didn't give him the other night. And I was sitting here rubbing my hands going, oh, he's going to update. I know he's got this line break assist coming. I knew he had some tackle busts. I thought he's updated to 90 and instead he's ended up on a 68. Mm. But I do like his shape. And I bought him in mainly because of their buy schedule, and I like him as an upside player in what's not been a really strong position this year. But they got this shape when they go to the left, which they do quite a lot. And Bronson Cherry runs that sort of block play sort of and kick out goes out the back. They do it a little bit with Ola Kawatu as well at Manly. And that's where he set up one of his try assists, the one that he kept. But he's just in for a fair few tries and try assists, I think, if they keep running that play. So that was nice to see. Yes, I don't know, Xavier Willison. He was my little black book. What did you make of him for this week?
Loved it. Like, he scored a try, a big strong try. He played 80 minutes, like we spoke about that Broncos bench. I think that's conducive to him playing big minutes. I don't like Jaden Hunt. With his limited minutes, hasn't looked good, so I can't see him kind of increasing that much. And next week, you can pick him up for still around 500K. He's going to have a 34 break even. He's no threat of playing Origin. We know his minutes are going to be big through that Origin period. I like him, Tubes. I liked it when you brought him up last week because he wasn't on my radar at all last week. I think he's going to be on plenty of radars this week, so I really like the call.
And as you said, I know he scored a try. And so 85 probably feels a little bit light, but it wasn't a big base game and he just wasn't necessarily needed. I think if he plays 80 minutes on that edge, which I think was part of my point, he's just going to have that upside in attack, like a player, like a kick out, like as in, so 500K, it's starting to get a little bit up there, but yeah, it could be a premium option to be looking to bring in.
Yeah. All right, Chiefs, I'm going to race through a few of the other dogs, but feel free to stop me if there's anyone who really jumps off the page as being interesting to talk about. Kiddaz was highly brought in this week. He had 53 with a try assist. He was actually on negative points 20 minutes into the game. It was looking disastrous. You mentioned the base and working off the line. There just weren't enough opportunities for the dogs to work off their line, which is where he gets all of his points. He had a couple of uncharacteristic errors. He's going to lose 15K. He's got an 80 break even. I still think he'd be a great pickup at any time, but there's no rush to do that. And Jacob Preston had 62 points and has scored another try while playing on the right edge. We spoke about how that move back to the right might impact him. So far, two games for two tries, looking good. Tubes, anything you want to mention about those two?
I think Kiraz, he had a very bad NRL game, a lot of mistakes. I think he's played himself out of an Origin jersey, which is probably the biggest positive to take out of that game for him. Because they've got a nice little buy schedule over that Origin run.
Yep. A few Bulldogs suspended. Tupanua gone for 5 games. Curran gone for 3. They weren't overly Supercoach relevant. Matt Burton's now out for 1 game. If he takes an early plea, he might choose to challenge it. That's pretty disappointing for the 2,500 coaches who brought him in this week. 39 points. He didn't goal kick again. It looks like Crichton's just got that kicking now. He's kicking it well. And choose with things like that, with the game you saw on the weekend, we've spoken about on the pod here before about how you don't want to look at playing your players against the Dogs. With all these suspensions, with the game the way it went, does that change at all for you moving forward?
Nah, not really. I think the only thing that it could change is I do think the Broncos did their homework and they exploited some things around the Dogs. And it'll be interesting to see other coaches pick up on some of those things and whether or not they start attacking in similar shapes and similar ways. They won the second half 18-0, didn't they, or 18-6 or something like that. It was a bit of an anomaly. I think let's just wait and see a couple of weeks, but I expect the Bulldogs to bounce back.
All right, let's get on to the next game, the Roosters versus the Dragons, the Anzac Day clash. James Tedesco is where we have to start, Tubes. He had 128 points, 2 tries and a try assist. He's going to go up 20K, so he'll be available for around about 865, 870K, BE around 70. He's still down in his price from the start of the year, but with these big scores coming through, we're just not going to get him for the discount that we kind of hope for. You can't buy him with that round 10 buy, can you? You have to wait.
Look, I'll answer your question, but I can't believe we didn't start with the 54% owned highest scoring halfback in the game. Teddy is he's not an option, I don't think, for next week. A lot of those points came in junk. For me, I still think he's a chance of origin as much as I don't really believe it. He just keeps playing so well that it sits there in the back of my mind that I really want to wait till after the bye, and I just want to see what the chatter looks like around then as well.
So you'd be happy to wait till round 12, not pick him up that round 11 coming off the bye?
Probably would do round 11, but it's still we're a bit closer to it then and see if there's any more information about it by then.
Well, let's get on to Tubes, the man you were prefacing there, Sandon Smith, 129, like you said, two tries, a try assist. He was only one goal kick away from equaling the most points ever in a game by a Rooster. He's going to go up another 70K and he's going to have a negative break even. How good was he?
It was honestly, it was a totally unexpected game for me. You and I both played him, luckily, as our hooker. We got the word Max Plath was likely to be out, so I think we both played him. I think he's owned by 54%, and it's hard to get this data from Supercoach, but based on the basically start versus bench, only 29% of those owners started him on the weekend. So, and you can't imagine he's going to be the reserve for many people, like their fourth reserve. You wouldn't think anyway. So
no, you call it,
you call it 30, 40% max of those actually played him. So great performance. It almost would hurt owning him and not playing him, seeing him sitting there on your bench. Like, I definitely would hurt, but as in, I'd almost rather not own him, but it'll be good for his for his kick on moving forward.
Yeah, and it makes you feel confident that he's a good hold over that whole buy period, because you hope this unlocks something in him and he's more confident, a better player coming out of it, because he's taken on the line a little bit this year, but he might even do it with more frequency now. Tubes, I want to get onto his halves partner, Hugo Savala, the big tall timber at halfback. He had a 65, easily his best score of the year. He's going to go up 30K now. He's going to have a negative break even. He's actually available as a dual halfback and second row forward, so you can pick him up as a downgrade at second row forward, which is pretty important. By far his most involvement in a game and by far his best game of first grade footy. Are you taking him seriously as a potential downgrade option?
No.
Do you want to elaborate?
I just don't, like, I mean, it was, he did play well. He got that junk try off Teddy. And he got a goal kick or two goal kicks when Sandon was
I think just
injured
the one.
Or something, just the one. I just don't think he's going to get more involved than what he did the other day, and I can't see him. Look, you could look at him as an option, but I'm happy to sort of just let him go through. He's going to make money. I think you've mentioned that Sam Walker might be coming back around round 13, or he's mentioned on a podcast or something that he could be.
No, he was interviewed after the game, so no podcast or anything. He was just interviewed, and they asked him how he's going. And there were some rumours that, like, Joey Johns had said that he'd heard chatter that Sam Walker might see out the season, and Walker was just very strongly saying, that's not true at all. I'm aiming for a round 13 return, was what he said. So, yeah, there is the chance of Savala. I actually completely disagree with all the other reasons you said for not owning Savala. I don't see why he wouldn't be more involved, or at least that level of involvement moving forward. But the Sam Walker thing would have me nervous, because the Roosters do have a round 14 bye. I'd be surprised if Walker comes back in 13 just for a bye a week later with such a long layoff. But it does mean we might not be getting as much Savala as what we would have liked. But I was really impressed. I liked how him and Sandon Smith actually were stacking both sides together. That's the first time I've noticed them doing that consistently in a game. Whenever they went left on Sandon Smith's side, Hugo Savala was inside him. Same thing. Actually, Sandon Smith came across to the right, pushed Savala out to that area where he's more likely to get try assists. So I liked the way they looked playing an attack together, but the Sam Walker thing would make me a little bit nervous. I am an owner, so I don't have to face that decision, but I do think he's a pretty good downgrade option with the Sam Walker information in mind.
You brought him in when he was my ready-to-explode player around then, didn't you?
Oh, like, yeah. You talked me into it.
Early call, yeah.
Talked me into it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's had, what's he had? He's had a try contribution, two goal kicks. I was right.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
Anyway. and And then, yeah, a few other sort of smaller attacking stats and stuff like that. So you're right. Like, he's definitely an option if that's what you're looking for and you're looking to make some bulk cash to upgrade elsewhere as well. Because 198K, that's cheap as chips.
Yep. All right, let's get on to the two Roosters mid-range centre wings. Billy Smith, who was the most brought in player this week, 42,000 super coaches brought him in. He had a 35. His base was all right, but, you know, less chance for that in a blowout scoreline. I thought he had a pretty controversial missed try assist, in my opinion. I might be biased as an owner, but he ran the whole way across the field and threw a big cutout ball. Sealong just tapped it and somehow got the try assist. He's still going to go up 70K, break even around 10. I'm fine with what I saw. Robert Toyer had 41 with a line break assist. His BE is going to be around 30. Is he fine to sell now, Tubes? Are you going to hold on for a little bit more and hope he has that one big breakout game?
I didn't realize he upgraded to 41. He wasn't in my team. He was 27. That's a big upgrade.
And he had the line break assist both times. Like, he was 27 with a line break assist initially.
Yeah, okay. I do think he's fine either way. Like, I said at the start, I think I want to sell Jenkins, so I'll probably hold Toyer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm looking at upgrading my centre wings, which I am over the next few weeks, then he could go for sure. But he's not a must sell.
Yeah. All right, on to the Dragons. Just want to mention Toby Couchman. He had a 43. It was the first time all year his minutes have dropped below 50 minutes in a game. And 4,000 purchases a week, so they'd be a little bit disappointed with that. Hopefully it was just one of those weeks with the kind of way that game went. King Gutho, Tubes, you and I are strong, outspoken non-owners of the King. He had a 44 this week. He's actually going to lose 85K. He's going to drop back down to around 720K now, not far above what a lot of people would have brought him in for. His break-even's 130-plus this week, so it's time to trade. The big question is, to who? Do you downgrade to Caelan Ponga if you're a non-owner and take that big discount in price? You probably want Teddy, but like we said, with the buy coming up, you can't really do that. Do you have any thoughts out there for the King Gutho owners on who they should trade to?
I don't really. I think Drinky's the big option, but I'd prefer they didn't. Just keep him a little bit pod for now. It is an interesting one, the King. I'd consider holding break even of 130. I know, but he's had a few down weeks. But I don't know. It just feels like he's still got a big score in him over the next couple. They got still a nice draw coming up.
Maybe I don't know. I'd sell. I wouldn't do it for a fullback though. I'd do it for a premium centre wing and just hold them in the flex position for now. If you got three fullbacks there, that's how I'd do it. Store them in my flex for a couple of weeks, and then when you bring in Teddy, push them back up to centre wing and bring Teddy into that flex position is the way I'd handle it. But, yeah, it's a bit of a decision to make this week. I think I'd sell. Yeah. All right, the last two, just to quickly mention, Egan, who was a very popular player over the last couple of weeks, he only had 30 points in 48 minutes, and he played 48 minutes straight, came off and never looked like coming back onto the field. He's making another 40K this week, but his break-even's now pushing up near 60. You could probably sell him this week. You certainly can't look at playing him anymore, even if he does get that start.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Chief? Sell or hold?
I don't know. I think it probably depends on what you need to be doing. I'm going to be holding him.
Doesn't it always?
No, but I mean, like, if you're thinking about upgrading your back row or not,
yeah.
Like, as in, it's probably more what other areas. If you weren't making a trade this week, I would consider selling him to upgrade him elsewhere. But I don't think you have to get him out. I want to see another week to see if this 48 minutes is an anomaly. As you said, you can't not play him in your 17. I played him over Horse, and so I was really disappointed in that 30. Yeah, and really just those minutes. So need a big bounce back from him.
Last one from the Dragons, which we won't discuss, but just to throw it out there, Finau, who was a popular preseason pick, had a 33. He's going to get a decent run on the wing with Max Fenai and Chiupalotu both out, so he's just one to watch for the future. The Warriors versus Knights, Tubes. The Warriors had a pretty strong win over them. We've spoken about Ponga already. A couple of other relevant Knights. Dylan Lucas was brought in by 15,000 super coaches this week. He had a 63. I thought in terms of the hammy, he looked to be moving pretty freely. He did have a shoulder niggle in the first half. He came off after 77 minutes, Tubes. I've had a bit of a research on it. I can't find anything to say if that was just a precautionary, game's over, let's just get him off, it's his first week back, or if there was a kind of a niggle somewhere that harmed him. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happened there.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything either. Could have just been gassed. A bit unlucky for people that brought him in, given Jones went over in the last minute, right in his spot.
So I was so angry because I got up. I thought it was him. I was like, I did the You Beauty stand up, and then it was Brody Jones. I was filthy. Greg Marju, Tubes, you were a very strong lay on Greg this week. You were advocating for people not to bring him in. He had a 49. He was purchased by nearly 10,000 coaches. So they didn't all listen to you. Oh, it was filthy. He lost 33 points in one play after a try decision was overruled. I mean, I think it was probably fairly overruled, to be honest, having watched the replays now. But in the moment, I was just filthy because the points were there. And then I just saw try overruled, minus 33 on baller.live came through. Look, it's fine. His break even's only 10. He's going to go up another 50K. But it's not the first week that a lot of owners wanted, especially when he crossed for what looked to be an early try.
I wasn't watching. I think I can't remember what I was doing at the time, but I must have. I had the earphone in my pocket, in my headphone in my ear, and so I was listening to the commentary. And I've heard him go over, and I'm just like filthy. And then you know, you just hear that little whistle, and you're just like, oh, they're checking it. What's going on? And even then, like you listen to the commentators, and they're debating it, like. Yeah. Oh, he might be out. He might be out. Oh no, he's not out there. He gets it down there, and I'm like, oh, damn it. And then, yeah, I've managed to watch the replay. He's definitely gone out, obviously. And it was a huge swing. I wasn't like advocate. I think he was a great purchase, and everyone that owns him has done really well. I just like finding these after people go 130, 140. Like it feels like everyone starts championing all the things that were already known about him, like he's got great base, all he needs to do is score a try, he's going to do all these great things. But they get echoed more and more after somebody happens to get 130, 140.
Of course.
And I just think that I don't mind taking them on sometimes. I did it last year with Asako, and it turned my season around, and I'm looking for taking on Greg Marju here to turn my season around too.
Well, I hope it doesn't work for you because I'm a Greg Marju owner, so... I hope it absolutely stuffs you up. Last two nights to talk about, Fletcher Sharp had a 48. Tommy Cant, he was moved back to the bench this week. A lot of owners were hoping he was going to somehow miraculously get named at starting lock for some – like it was just felt like they were just trying to make something up and hope.
Just because Matt Croker's not a very good player. So, like, I think
that's a bit harsh. That's harsh.
Well, he's not – he obviously plays first grade football. He's better than you and I. But he's not – like, he's not good. Like, he's not, you know, he's no superstar. He wouldn't be starting lock for any other pack in the competition.
Yeah.
So I just think that there was the hope that Kent seems to be a better footballer than him. He might start over him for no other reason than that, I think.
Well, he didn't. He got 31 in 27 minutes. His break-even is now in the mid-40s. So he's a definite time-to-go guy. Like, you trade him out this week.
No, no, no. Could start lock this week. Could start lock.
Over Croker. They did lose. Yeah. Tubes, even though the Warriors won the game, they have a little bit less to talk about. I want to quickly just mention Wade Egan because we have our stake bet if he gets to 640K. He had an 86 with a try, but how good is this? He's still losing 10K. He's going to drop under 600K and his break even settling around 60. So we'll keep an eye on that one. And Lika Halasima was one that we were putting on our radars when he got the starting role a couple of weeks ago. He was named off the bench this week. He actually was elevated to the starting lineup, but he only played 39 minutes. So for 53 points.
Yeah.
So good PPM, but just not quite the minutes that people were hoping for.
No, it is a bit crowded, that Warriors pack, when they were full back to full strength and Ford went to the bench. I think Nakora played front row, but obviously he can play back row. And that other young gun, what's his name?
Jacob Laban
Valmunga. I think he got some better minutes as well. Like, and he looks like a really good player as well. So
he does.
It's just tough to find the minutes for Lika.
Yeah. Well, on to the last of the Anzac Friday clashes. It's the Storm versus the Rabbitohs. there's easily the least to talk about in this game. Big Eli Katoa had 73 points. He had a try and two try contributions. He just keeps getting it done. He's in 21% of teams, and he's one tubes that's going to be a big target for me coming into the Origin period. Pappenhausen had a 66 with a try. Most importantly this week, what people worried about is who was going to goal kick him or Nick Meaney, with Meaney coming back in. I loved when Matt from am I allowed to call him the head honcho again, Tubes, or is that not on? Matt, the head honcho of the Baller Podcasting Network, he was at the game and sent a picture through of Pappy with the kicking tee. So that was very nice to see, and that continued into the game. Cam Munster, 66 points. He's just kind of content to play a role, isn't he, Munster, this year? Like, he hasn't scored below 50. He hasn't scored above 100. Just super consistent, getting the job done. Any of those Storm boys you want to talk about?
Not really. I think Pappy's disappointing, 66. I didn't know. I actually think I fell asleep on Friday night and didn't watch the end of the game. I didn't realise till the morning that there was the sin bid from a challenge towards the back end of the game for Pappy. So, yeah, I mean, he's still now that he's goal kicking, I can't see anyone selling him anytime soon. So, and he'd still be a captaincy, vice captaincy option. I'm happy he didn't go too well, because I had the VC on him and didn't want to loop when Drinky was still coming up.
Yeah, true. It actually probably did. He was my VC in the end as well, so it probably worked out nice in that regard. Tubes, I'm used to you going to bed from our uni days, going to bed early on Anzac Day, but I'm going to gather this time around it was for very different reasons to what it was back in our uni days. Maybe hard up early with the kids this time as opposed to a long day.
It was still dawn service. It was still dawn service. It wasn't all the other activities that sort of started straight after dawn service this time.
From the Rabbitohs, I mean, they're just so irrelevant now, the Bunnies, after looking like a really interesting team coming into the year. I think that'll change the back half of the season, but Latrell Mitchell had 11 points. He was sin bin. He's now suspended for a week. He's losing another 108K. He's going to drop below 700K now, and his break-even is 164. So there is going to come a point, probably post-Origin, where he's going to be one of the most owned players in Supercoach, I would say, Tubes, or at least amongst a lot of the top engaged Supercoaches, because he's going to be juicy soon at maybe potentially below 600K.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. He'll definitely be one of the most owned. I saw someone on social media being like, oh, just typical stupid stuff from Trell. You can't own him in Supercoach because of reasons like this, and he always gets injured. And I'm thinking, I'm definitely going to own him this year. He's just one of the best players going around. It is a bit funny. He does go off the boil, like, in games like that, and I don't really know what it is. Like, but, it's usually around Origin time, interestingly, where he starts to find his mojo. So hopefully 1 week off and can have a bit of a think about what he did and come back firing.
Yeah, hopefully he does get into the team and then it regains his form. Tubes, let's get into the number one segment on the Sunday Snap, Ready to Explode. Who are you giving us this week as your Ready to Explode player, Tubes?
Well, mine's one that I really wanted to bring in last week. I almost considered using a boost for him and then better judgment came over me. Not so much that I don't want this player, but just it wasn't worth a boost and I didn't actually need to bring him in for this week. And that is Marky Mark. Mark Nawanga Nisawase.
Nawanga Nitawase.
Nawanga Nitawase. Nice. He's had 69, I think, in the end, with a try. He's on the wing, so I was thinking that there's the potential of higher base, higher upside from him on that wing, which I still think there is that possibility. But I just think that did he have a try or a try assist? He had a try. But I just think he just looks like such a good footballer, like so many tackle breaks, always looking to create. And I think as he sort of gets into that wing role and he increases his base coming out of his own end and they need him to roll up the sleeves, I think he will be able to. He's got a good offload on him. I just think he's ready to, like, for someone that if you're looking to take on like a Greg Marju or something like that, at the price, he was 540K. What do you have? He had a break even this week of let me 28, so he'll only be slightly going up. And I think that he's definitely one that I'll want to be in my side over that Origin period. The Roosters, if you haven't listened to the pod before, have a very, very good Origin run. He's not going to be playing Origin, although Andrew Johns apparently made a call to get him into the squad on the weekend. So great minds and all of that think alike, and I'll be bringing Marky Mark into my Supercoach team.
I like it. Well, choose my one is Lockie Galvin, who made his return this afternoon with the Tigers after being dropped to New South Wales Cup for a week. He is 5% owned, which I am going to use the term criminally under-owned for the 5'8 position, which is really, really weak. I can understand why he is 5% because if I was an owner, I would have sided 2 weeks ago for sure, and 10,000 of them did. He's only in 3.5% of the top 1% of super coaches too. So amongst those top-ranked ones, he's just not really there. He does miss rounds 12 and 15, which are two of the three major buy rounds, but he plays round 18, plus he plays all the mini buys. The mini buys for new listeners are round 13, 16, and 19. They're the ones after Origin where you're relying on players to back up, plus four teams have the buy. So that's our mini buys that we're referring to. He plays all of them. Chiefs, here's what I'm thinking of doing. I'll see what you think, because I haven't run this by you before. I'm looking at trading Jaden Campbell out to Galvin next week. I'm then looking at when it comes to Origin and Jaden Campbell returns in round 12 or 13. I'm looking at trading Munster back to Jaden Campbell and then holding Galvin and Campbell for the rest of the year. Unless one of them goes down, I can bring Munster back in. What do you think about that as a way of handling the Jaden Campbell situation?
Geez, you have one good week, Jono, and you start planning like weeks in advance. Think you're a super coach mastermind or something. Let's just stick to reviewing this week's games, and it's all right. I would advocate for those that still own Jaden Campbell. Jaden Campbell to Galvin next week feels like a very good trade option to me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Especially with his pod ownership, and there'll be people with potentially bigger fires to put out. All right, Tubes, into the second half of our round review. It's the Cowboys versus the Titans. I think we've already spoken about Drinky enough, but let's just mention it again. 132 points, and we both captained him. Very happy with that. He's only
2% captain. 2% yeah. Captained. Yeah. There you go. Pretty smart, 2%.
He only went up 40K, and I think we both agree he's a really good buy still next week. His break-even is going to be 36. He has awesome buy coverage. I think if you didn't get him this week, you should next week. Like, you should make that a priority.
I think so. I think this Cowboys run coming up, we're obviously going to talk about a lot of Cowboys here, but their run coming up, I'm just bringing it up to so it's in front of me while I'm talking about it. But I remember this was the time to look at getting them. So they had the Titans, they play the Warriors next week, but at mm-hmm. Suncorp, so as part of Magic Round. Then they play the Panthers at home. So at who's it? QCBS? What's that? Queensland Country Bank Stadium. And then they play Manly up there again. And then they play the West Tigers up there again. So they basically got Suncorp into three home games, the next four games. So I just think that just such fast tracks, those two grounds, that it's just worth getting them in. And none of those are defensive juggernauts at all.
Well, Tubes, I'm going to mention the Cowboys 100 Club. They had four get 100-plus on the weekend. We mentioned Drinky. The other ones were Tommy Din, Robert Derby, and Jeremiah Nanai. Are any of those guys of interest to you? Obviously, they're going to start to go up and have really low break-evens. Do you think any of those guys in particular are good bring-ins at the moment?
And an honourable mention just outside the 100 Club is Murray Tuolangi, 99. So I think, though, out of the ones that you mentioned, like Matt called it last week, Dearden was an option for Jaden Campbell. It feels hard to bring him in now, potentially, but probably not. He shouldn't be. It's just that it would have been so sweet to get him last week. But I think for anyone looking at an option at 5'8", Dearden is definitely one. I actually, this is going to sound like, I swear to this, I thought about Nanai last week when, like, please. I saw he was named starting. He was your little black book from a while back, or maybe you're ready to explode.
He was my two weeks ago. I had him,
and I saw that he was named to start this week for the first time, and I just started thinking, will they have such a nice sort of schedule coming up? Is there a chance he doesn't make Origin this year? Like, his form hasn't been great. He's just won the starting spot back. Their left edge attack is just so deadly. Like, Dearden, Drinky out the back, Nanai, Purdue, who I think is an absolute gun, and then Murray on the wing. Like, it's just there's so many options there. I just think that Nanai is an option to potentially bring into your super coach side for the next run as well.
I actually don't like Dearden as a 5-8 option, and I don't like Nanai, even though I mentioned him as a ready to explode 2 weeks ago, because I think Dearden is going to be either 18th man or 14th man for Queensland this year. I think he's either getting a bench spot. Why would he not be 18th man?
He might be 18th man. They typically pick 18th man, though, typically, when they have the bye. So he'll probably be 18th man for game one when they have the bye. Maybe. But then he won't be the 14th spot. Like, they won't pick him.
I know. I think it's a chance. I think his form's good. I think Ben Hunt isn't. Anyway, this is an Origin prediction show. But I'd be nervous about it. And same thing with Nanai Choose. When I brought him up a couple of weeks ago, you said you didn't like it very much because of Origin. And I don't think anything's changed. If anything, he's more chance of playing Origin now than he was 2 weeks ago, because his form actually is starting to look better. You mentioned Purdue as well, Tubes. He had a 64. He's going up another 93K. Picking him up for about 620K now, which is crazy, because a lot of people sold when he was about 280K. So you'd be regretting that decision now. His break-even's only 5, so it's only going to continue to go up. Tubes, Bo Fermor, you mentioned at the top of the show. I am a Bo Lever. I kept him in my team. He was available coming into this week for under 500K. He had a try and a try assist. His break-even's negative 12. Playing in the back row this Tuesday, he's gone 68, 80, 50, 63, and now 132. He's only had two low scores this year, and they were both while he was filling in at centre, because they had a bit of an injury crisis in their backs. That seems to have settled. Jojo Fifita's back. Khan Pereira's back. So I don't think that he's going to be spending a lot more time playing out at centre. You reckon he's still a pretty good buy this week?
Yeah, I'm interested to find out what your teased things against him is. But for me, I sort of look at it and go, I actually sold him. I think he was 582K when I sold him, and he was playing in that centre spot. He's only going to be back up to 550K now. I can reconcile that in my head, because I think I sold him to Egan. Egan made 200K. So bringing him back in isn't necessarily the worst, even though I missed the score. But I like all the reasons I liked him before. If he's playing an 80-minute back row spot, I think he's definitely a great option. He clearly has the base, and as we saw on the weekend, he definitely has the upside.
Here's the thing I'm nervous about as an owner, and I would be if I was a potential person bringing him in. Again, Origin prediction show. It wouldn't shock me if he played Origin off the bench with some of their back rowers out of form. You mentioned Nanai. Who knows what's going on there? You mentioned we've spoken about Fifita earlier this year. He only had a 37 in 59 minutes on the weekend. His form's not great. Fermor has been in the Origin squad before. He was 19th man 2 years ago. Or was it 2 years ago he did his ACL? So the year before that, 3 years ago when he was fully fit, he was 19th man for Queensland in a pretty strong squad. It wouldn't shock me if with his form he played.
It would shock me. I wouldn't know. I'm glad that's all it is. I think I'll be looking at bringing in Bo Fermor in. How hard was he running those lines on the weekend?
He's honestly
unbelievable.
I think people remember what he was 5 years ago when he debuted, and he had a lot of errors in him. He has a bit of a funny running style as well, which I think immediately puts people off him. But he's become a genuinely good footballer. Runs a great line, gets through heaps of work, good defender. His errors, they still happen. He'll have occasional game where he makes a few, but he's become a legitimately good NRL player. So, yeah, definitely an option for this week.
Two tries, but one of them was off a kick as well. So, yeah, I mean, obviously he's not having a try and an assist every week, but I'd say that that sort of 60, 63 to 68 is a pretty good, nice floor to be hanging around at.
Yeah, and dual, so you can move him around when you need to. The other one, Chooch, in that game, Tino had a 69 with a try assist. He played 62 minutes. His break-even's pretty much set at his price now. Yeah, there'd be no reason to sell him unless you're trying to make a pod move over Origin, but I don't think I will be. On to the next game, the Panthers versus the Seagulls. A couple of very well-owned Seagulls players went well during this big win. Ola Kawatu had 106. He had a try, a try assist, and 14 tackle busts. His price is pretty much going to stay fairly level because he had a big break-even coming into this week. Next week, it's going to be about a 48. I mean, there is the chance he plays Origin. He has before. He was in the team last year. I'd say the chatter around him, his form hasn't been as good as what a lot of people expected. There's been a lot of chat about Hudson Young, Jacob Preston, less so about Ola Kawatu, but that doesn't mean that Laurie Daly's not going to bring him in. So that's an interesting one because, again, the Seagulls have a really good buy coverage if you don't own Ola.
Yeah. I'd be waiting for him. We talked about it till Origin teams are named, and then he's a must bring in for round 12 if he's not in the team. But obviously 31% already own him, 38% own Garrick. Both of those are basically Origin schedule must-haves in your side. As a non-owner of both of those, when Turbo coming back and they just want to pepper that right edge, it's a tough watch at Manly because they do just look so good dominating that right-hand side where you've got Oller and Garrick and Turbo at the back. It's pretty formidable.
Very formidable. And Garrick, you mentioned him, he had 98 points. He had a try, 20 points in conversions. He's going to drop down below 700K this week. Again, he had a really big break even. It's staying big. It's still going to be 88. The Seagulls actually have a bye next week. Unlike Ola, though, he's no chance of playing Origin. He's a massive round 10 or round 11 target.
Yeah. He's 100% coming in on my side.
Yep. Turbo, 54. Looked good in his return game. Had a try assist. He's going to lose 100K. He's got a huge break even. He will play Origin. Not on the radar yet, but hopefully he can lose a bit of money for the post-Origin end of year hustle. And Nathan Cleary this week, Tubes, he was the most popular captain around 25% of super coaches. Captain Cleary, he had a 54. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, disappointing. They were well beaten. The Panthers, they didn't look great. I don't know. You're right, though. It is disappointing, especially after his 100 and whatever with no try assists the week before. So, it's so hard. Captains feel so hard this year. Like, I'm on cloud nine, and you, after we get one right, and it just makes such a big difference to your weekend, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It's the best. And it's the worst when it goes the other way, which both of us have experienced a bit recently. On to today's games, the Raiders versus the Dolphins. Dolphins were up 28-10, ended up losing 40-28 with a big second half for the Raiders. Look, Jamal Fogarty, I don't want to spend heaps of time on him because he's not that relevant, but he had 116. He, Chief, this has only gone below 60 once this year and has never gone below 50 for the whole season. So he's super consistent. Just no one's looking at him because of the more popular guys like Nico and Cleary and a couple of cheapies like Sandon Smith, but he's doing really well. Hot Tamale was another one, Tubes, who is very popular. 41% of super coaches own him. He had 76 points with a try. This week he had 39 in base plus power. So it's 2 weeks in a row where his base plus power has been really nice. He's going up another 40K, break even at a negative 9. You sold him, Tubes, last week. How are you feeling about that now?
I would prefer that I didn't, but I don't feel like he's the one that got away. Like, he'll go up a bit more, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, it's not Purdue territories, is it?
No. I mean, he still looks like a decent footballer, but it was funny, like, his base was up this week, but what we talked about last week, he got an early try, and that got him up and about, didn't it? He was their first try scorer. Oh. And once he gets over the line, then his base and power goes up. I think it's nice for those that held him, but I still think the majority will be selling to one of those premium buy round center wings over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, most likely. What about the horse tubes? I was one of the 1,500 super coaches who sold him this week. He had a 72. He had an early line break in the game, which helped as well. But the thing that I noted was his minutes were back up. He'd been down 3 weeks in a row, sub 50. This week, he was just back up to 55 minutes. He had a great game. it's a similar thing to YouTube's with Tamale. I don't regret selling it because I moved on to Dylan Lucas, who I think is going to be a better player for the run home and is more relevant with that dual flexibility. But, yeah, if you've held, well done. See, he's still in 62% of teams.
I just think, like, maybe he had the line break early, but he was on like 32 after 16 minutes, and I thought I didn't see any attacking stats at the time. So was the line break early for him? I don't.
Let me double check. He had one.
Might have been tough for you to see game.
He actually didn't. I take that back. He didn't get a line break early. That's all base plus power. I'm wrong.
So because I was looking at it going, he hasn't had any attacking stats. He's on 32 after 16 minutes. I've held him. I didn't play him. I just think, I suppose it depends on how much upside you're going for, but he's just going to be a playable option, realistically, week in, week out. And just having that dual flexibility, front row, second row, as you said, you can take it or leave it, but I'm happy he did well, and I'm happy to own.
Matty Nicholson, Matty Knickknack Paddywhack, he had a 68, 80 minutes again. This week, no combo roller. It was all on the right edge. He scored a late try in support. He had his best base plus power week, 51 this week, sold by nearly 3,000. I elected to hold him over the horse just because I think that horse is going to play origin. There's that word origin again. So that was my kind of deciding factor between the two. There's a chance that Nicholson goes before them, but if I was going to hold one, I'd rather have the one who's not playing origin, and I feel pretty fine about that after this week. Tom Starling, this hooker minute thing at the Raiders between him and Owen Paddy is just so weird. He was back up to 63 minutes this week, 65 points, really good for his 19% of owners. Tubes to the Dolphins, Herbie Farmworth, he was highly brought in this week, 6,000 super coaches brought him in. He had 67 points with a try. His base plus power was just way down on usual. Is he still a target? I'm assuming that hasn't put you off him at all.
Nah, I still think he's a target. He's not going up much this week, is he? Like a little bit, but his break even's going to be sort of pretty steady now as well. So
yeah,
I mean that's just sort of where he goes. He sits around 700K most of the season. I think he's a set and forget once you bring him in to your side.
Yeah. Tubes, can I hand over the reins to you for the Tigers versus Sharks game? My mother-in-law was over for a birthday dinner, so I watched like the first 20 minutes. And then I didn't get the chance to watch anymore. So you take the reins and you host the last game.
You know, I actually didn't get to watch much of this myself either. I was watching a lot of it on my phone, unfortunately. If you'd see in my background here, I've got a nice footy kit. So it was Theo's first AFL game of the year this week. And we had Super Sunday, which we were giving out the presentation awards for Anzac Day medals. For the AFL round, but I don't know that it was an interesting one. So there's a fair few relevant players from this one. None less so than Tyrrell May. He's busted out another 108. Granted, it was in 85 minutes as it went to Golden Point, but he literally had no attacking stats. Like, he just keeps getting it done, John. I know we keep talking about how hard captaincy options is, but Haas has gone 127 and he's gone 108 again. Like, are we just going to keep saying it every week until someone actually does it?
Well, other people are. It's just not you or me. There's plenty of people putting the captaincy on him. And, Chibs, he had six ineffective offloads he's marked down. So that score's going to go up another – like, he'll probably crack 120 once it's all said and done.
It'd be remiss of us not to mention that he'll probably play Origin. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he will. I wouldn't have said that at the start of the year. I thought he was a limited chance of playing, to be honest, with the comments he made last year about wanting to play for Queensland over New South Wales, even though he's not eligible. But with how good his form is, you can't deny it.
There's not that many relevant Supercoach players in the Tigers, considering they played well. You've obviously already spoken about Galvin. Dewey had 62, 13% ownership. I'm guessing a lot of that went up when he got named in the halves last week, or for people bringing in for Jaden Campbell at 5'8". So he's got a break even of 40 for the next week. I don't know, like, did he look much better today in the centres? I don't think so. I think it's probably just making some conversions and probably just doing a little bit more work on a windy Sunday at Leichhardt. Did you see the end of the game for this one, Jono?
I saw nothing.
Any of
except
it.
I saw the first 20 minutes. I don't even know how it ended. I know that it was in Golden Point.
I just don't even want to talk about the Sharks. So it was in Golden Point. The Sharks should have won the game. I think they had three or four chances to ice the game. There was a couple of times where
Bit of fuel for the Nico haters?
No, not at all, actually. I'd say he was really trying to carry him over the line. He nearly kicked a 55-metre field goal towards the end of regulation. He hit the post and it bounced back. But just he then put Hazelton through a line and Hazelton just got tackled before the line. Hazelton then got spread out wide by Trindle. Atkinson dropped it with 20 seconds left. Just a lot of stupid stuff. But the dumbest of all was in Golden Point, like about 30 metres out, right towards the end of Golden Point, Hazelton just goes for a strip. Two or three people in the tackle, just strips the ball from him. Okay, penalty right in front, Dewey kicks it. But anyway, we're back on Supercoach. Ronaldo, 103 with a try assist. He's actually a really good option. I know Danny Boy's thinking about bringing him in next week. They've got a nice little run coming up, the Sharks. He's only 562K. Obviously, will go up a little bit from this game. What are your thoughts on Ronaldo?
He's popular this time of year every year because he's obviously a Kiwi. He's not going to play Origin. Tubes, I'm going to say this loud and clear. I will never own Ronaldo Mulitalo in Supercoach again. Simple. When he's down and when he's off, he's way off. Right? 2 years ago, I brought him in off this big hot streak. He had this great buy coverage, and he went like sub 30, like six of the next eight games. So I'm out on Ronaldo. I'm not getting him. Good luck to the people who do. It's too up and down for me. I like guys with a bit more substance and base around them who still have the upside with tries, and Ronaldo does not check that box for me. I'm out on him.
One of the interesting ones was AFB. He's been down on minutes lately. I was actually trying to convince the Podfather to bring him in over the weekend as an option to bring in anyway, just because it worked well with his team setup. And he sort of was worried that he might be carrying a niggling injury because his minutes have been down and he's sort of being propped up by tries. But he's had 76 all in base plus power. And he played 64 minutes. Now, he did play the majority of the Golden Point, so that probably lands him at maybe 55, 56 minutes. But it is still pretty good, pretty decent for him, for someone that has an attacking. Do you think AFB will be an option, like, over that bye schedule, especially what we said, Haas and Tyrrell May likely to miss games due to Origin?
And Tino and Horse.
And Tino, yeah.
Yes, I do. I think he's a great premium option. He's actually in 15% of the top 1% of teams. They're already kind of covered around that area. So I think he's a great option. The price is not too bad. I think it's pretty fairly priced. You're not getting a lot of value, but I like him at 660K. Big option heading into that period.
Hirodi, condolences to Crackers, who had him as a great bring-in and great player option last week. And I think we've said this a lot. 1 week is a long time in Supercoach, I can tell you that much. And Hirodi's unfortunately gone off with a suspected MCL. Fitzy's confirmed in the press conference that he's probably out for a few weeks, but he expects Kale Iro to be back next week as well. So Hirodi's got a 16. So basically he's gone up 150K and he'll be a sell next week for those that brought him in. And the final one is just Nico. Two try assists, putting his back rowers through gaps effectively, and he's had a 70. I thought he looked good from the limited amount that I saw, but I note here, Jono, you've said that he's had after your little rant last week on having so many touches, he's had the least amount of touches for this year.
He's gone sub 50 for touches in a game for the first time this year, and that includes extra time. Interestingly though, Tubes, and again, I didn't watch this game, so I can't comment, Trindle had even less. Normally the weeks where Nico's a bit down, Trindle picks it up. I don't know if this week they were running a lot more through the forwards or if Will Kennedy was getting a lot more involved. But, yeah, his touches were the lowest for the year. So there goes my theory about it's Nico's team again. He's going to be getting all the touches. We'll see how that pans out next week.
I wonder how they track it. It was a weird game. Huge wind at Leichhardt. So, I don't know, whatever, it's a big kilometres per hour wind, but it was massive. So I wonder if there was just more kicking going on downfield and sort of it was only 20-18 in the end. So a pretty low scoring game for a Sunday afternoon.
Tubes, final segment of the show is our little black book. Who are you going to jot down?
Yeah, I put him down. I think he had an upgrade since, but he's ended up going 101, and that was Aaron Clark. I sort of rubbished you. You kept bringing him up to me at the start of the season, and I sort of just like, why? Who's talking about Aaron Clark? He started the year quite cheap. I think he was in the 380k, 390k, yeah. And he's now gone. So the big move was it was in round four. Dylan Walker went to the Parramatta Eels. So basically since then he's gone 65, 71, 55, and now 101. But the biggest thing that I probably could have noticed before this week was that he's played 60-plus minutes last week and then again this week. So I feel like we talked about that being a stacked Warriors pack, but he's sort of taken on that middle role. And he's absorbed some more of Dylan Walker's minutes because he does have a bit of ball playing ability, but he clearly does get through a fair bit of base plus power work as well. I don't know, like he's a plays for New Zealand. He's sort of that 524K. We've talked about a few back rowers in this sort of range. I think it's just worth sort of noting, particularly over that Origin period where the real guns, as we've mentioned plenty of times tonight, are likely to play Origin, that he could be an option over that period.
I like it as a mention because I do think it's interesting. You were right, he updated to 108 tubes, not 101 like I put in the spreadsheet, but he's going to be 570K-ish this week after the price changes. Even if he is playing 65 minutes, his whole career he's basically been about a 0.9 points per minute guy. I do think he's interesting, but he's not going to be for me. I just can't see him, unless he's going to consistently start getting attacking stats, which has never really been his go, I just can't see him being too underpriced from where he's at now. Like it would have been a great one to bring in 3-4 weeks ago, for sure, when he was in the mid-400s, but I think he might have gotten a little bit away now. But yeah. Look,
I think he could be just the one that got away, but it does feel like he's just going to be that nice scoring player. I think I'd love to own him at the moment. That's probably it. Jeez, especially after getting 108.
Especially we've come a long way when I put him on the spreadsheet, and I think it was like the fourth week in a row, just because he was highly owned. Anyway, he went, no, we're not talking about Aaron Clark. And now he's your little black book, so he's come a long way. Cheers. My one is Sam Welafonu from the West Tigers. He had a 76 today and he crossed for his first try of the year. Overall for the year now, he's lost about 75K after the prices update for this round. His only low score this year was a 24, which was in a 34-minute game, injury affected. Last year, he averaged 57 in his 16 80-minute games. That's pretty impressive sample size on a rookie year. I just think he's one of these guys who's probably about 180K, I reckon, underpriced on what I expect him to finish the year at, or at least average thereabouts from this point onwards. So I just think he's one worth keeping an eye on. He's only 1% of teams, so he's an absolute super pod. I think he's a class NRL player, and I think the big scores and the attacking stats are going to start to come back for him.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I liked owning him last year. It's funny, though. Is there something that's just a blocker when you get one of those cheapies that go well, but then they don't kick on to be like an absolute gun that you just never want to get him back in? Like, as in, there's something there, like, sort of like, oh, no, he's had his run in my team. Like, he's not that good that I'm not going to bring him in. But, yeah, it's a compelling case, isn't it?
I think he's worth a look. Right, Tubes, let's close it out. It's been a long one. We're getting another little slap on the wrist for going over the 1 hour mark, which probably didn't help that we spent the first 5 minutes gloating about Drinky as our captain. Tubes, the boys will be back on Tuesday. I know Matt and Danny Boy are ready, raring and red hot, ready to go. Matt's had another pretty good week and he's going to continue his high ranks. We've got to give a shout out to C-Mac.
Oh, I was going to interrupt you.
Yeah. Mac. We should have done it at the top of the show. Here I am. Oh, I got 1510. C-Mac, who's already ranked in the top 50, he's blasted out. He's at 1,502 before updates. So he has had a mammoth score already at a high rank. There's a chance he's a top 5 to 10 Supercoach player after this round.
I think he'll 100% be in the top 10. So could be as high as 6 or 7. And yeah, baller contributor. I don't think he can be on the Tuesday pod.
Unfortunately.
He'll be up at Magic Round for those that see him. Give him a shout out, shake his hand.
Ask him who he's captaining.
Yeah, check who he's captaining. That's our sort of weekly thing now, is check who C-Mac's captaining, or just he's got the hot hand at the moment. So, yeah, we're running with it.
So good. Well, yeah, they'll be back on Tuesday for the Teamless Show and then Thursday for the Q&A pod. But, Tubes, that brings us to a close. Well done on a strong week this week, bringing a lot of energy to the show. Anything else you want to mention before we finish up?
You beauty.
That was a good one.